Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Juggling two or three or four things at the same time. Story for all of us. We all experience this kind of lifestyle, which we are struggling with the demands of life, the demands of work, the demands of home, the demands of the community, the demands of the church, your club, the organizations to which you belong, demands of friends, of family, of extended family, of grandparents, parents, kids, neighbors, and so on. We all live that kind of a lifestyle where demands are multiple, and they all come at the same time, and they all require us to make some kind of response to deal with it in some kind of way. You know, remember the game you used to play as a kid? You take a beanbag or some little object, a ball or something like the tennis ball, and just move it from left hand to right hand, and right hand to left hand, and left hand to right hand, and back and forth you would go. Then you'd change it a little bit by you would move the object or the little ball to your left hand and throw it up in the air, catch it with your right hand, and then move it to your left hand again, throw it up in the air, and repeat that process. Then you made things a little bit more difficult. Now we enter into two balls or two beanbags, and you move them back and forth and throw one up in the air, and move them back and forth and throw one up in the air and catch it, and you're juggling with two beanbags. And then we struggle with a third one, and now we have three beanbags, and we're going back and forth from hand to hand, up and down, and see how many beanbags you can handle. Well, the interesting thing about it is most people can handle one, maybe two at the most, but three, no. The other thing interesting about it is that the younger you are, the more likely you're able to juggle beanbags. The older you are, the less likely you can juggle the beanbags without making a fool of yourself. So age certainly is a factor. It's a coordination factor. It's a timing kind of a factor. And our brains kind of break down as we increase in our age and we're not able to juggle as many things as we were when we were younger. Well, it's the same way in life. Unfortunately, sometimes as you get older, you have to juggle more things, but you're less likely and less capable of juggling two or three or four or five or eight things all at once. So you see, the demands are there, but the ability to handle those demands have now shrunk, have now decreased, have now become defunct, kaput. So there you are in life, trying to figure out how to take care of grandma, how to take care of the kids, and how to take care of the friends that you have and the demands of the associations to which you belong, and on and on and on it goes. There you are, trying to juggle the life demands and the life requirements. Well, here's three ideas for you to kind of remember. As you go through life in this juggling process and the demands on you that are maybe excessive, maybe beyond your ability to handle, but you're trying to. You're trying to make it. You're trying to make life work as best you can and keep everybody happy as best you can, even though you know good and well that's almost an impossible task. But here are three ideas that you want to just keep in mind. When you are in a juggling situation in life of demands and situations, build the best team you can around you. Build the best team. You know, that's a time in life when you really need people who will listen to you, people who are good listeners, people who understand the juggling that you're doing because they're doing the same thing or they've done the same thing. They've been there, done that. You see, we like to be around people who understand what we're going through because they went through it. They went through it before. They went through it successfully. They handle it. So they understand what you're going through. That's the issue of a support team. Make sure that you don't have naysayers around you, but that you have good, terrific listeners around you. That's what you really need. You might make a support circle so that that support circle is there as you need it and when you need it and as much as you need it and as long as you need it and as strong as you need it and in different ways in which you need it. You don't need four or five or six people all the same type and all the same kind. You need different people who are in your support group, but they're all listeners. That's the one thing in common. And they'll all share with you their best answer, their best advice if you ask for it. But they're not going to be there to give you advice if you don't want it or if you're not asking for it. That's not the kind of people. You don't want people who are just telling you what to do. You want people who will listen. And then if you want to know, or if you ask them, they'll be glad to share with you their best guess, their best option, their best approach to that. People come from different backgrounds. People who have gone through what you're going through, but they really have different backgrounds altogether. In life, they've shared what you are going through, but they've shared it with others. And they know what success is, and they know what it is to handle it. So make sure you got a team. That's a support team. You want people you can call at any time. You want people that you can just stop and give them a call, or you can drop in and see them in their home, or you can arrange to have coffee with them sometime or have lunch or whatever. You can arrange that they're available to you because you're available to them. And it's a mutuality in support. You provide them support as they provide you support. That's the kind of people. If you have people in your life who are not supportive, who are demanding and who are there only for certain times and they're not available and they just give you advice that you don't even want to know about or you're not even asking for and they're just overpowering you, you don't need them in your support group. Those are the people you eliminate from your support group. So remember, you got to have some in your support group. Most people have 3, 4, 5, but not the people who are naysayers. Okay, here's the second point. You got to learn to say no. When you're going through a lifetime crisis and you're trying to juggle all the events of your life and all the things going on in your life and all the demands and expectations that are upon you, you need to say no to some things. You need to limit your involvement in some things. In other words, sometimes you can't take on any more, that's for sure. And sometimes you have to say no to people who are asking you in goodwill and good faith. And maybe in the past you were able to handle a situation. Maybe you would have said yes, or maybe you would have involved yourself. But now you can't. The demands are too great and they're overwhelming. So you got to make sure that you have the ability to say no. When your plate is full, the word is no. Okay? You got to prioritize your time. You got to prioritize your tasks. You got to prioritize your demands on you. You got to prioritize the people in your life. You got to prioritize the expectations on you, whether they come from within your family or they come from outside your home and outside your family. It doesn't matter where they come from. Priority is the way you live. Priority living is the key. You got to learn to say no. You can't prioritize if you can't say no. I mean, saying no automatically says you prioritize some things. So they go together. And here's the third point. Find joy in something every day. You know, when your days are stressed and your days are overwhelming, your days are just beyond you, you have to find something that gives you joy. You have to engage in something that gives you joy. You have to be around the people who give you joy. You have to read the book that gives you joy. You have to read the articles, the magazines that give you a little joy. You have to listen to the music that gives you a little joy. You see, you have to kind of pet the dog that gives you a little joy. You know, maybe it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's 5 hours. You know, who knows? But whatever it is, when you're under stress and the demands are great, don't give up joy. Make sure joy still comes into your life and is part of your life and is part of your time. Maybe not every single day you can do that. But periodically during the day or periodically during the week, you need to do something that gives you joy. Maybe it's just going to the gym for a half hour or for an hour. Or maybe it's taking a walk around the block for a half hour or something like that. 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Maybe it's visiting with a neighbor. In other words, it's vital that you take time for yourself. There's times to be selfish and it's healthy. There are times to be selfish and it's not healthy. So selfishness is not always an unhealthy process. Sometimes it's very healthy. Just to kind of say, this is my time. I can't take on anymore. I can't respond to any more demands, any more discussions, any more telephone calls, or whatever it might be. Sometimes you just have to seclude yourself in a room and tell your family, tell your kids, leave you alone for an hour. Take a nap. Sit by yourself. Just be alone. Be in quiet. Play some music. See? Do the thing that finds joy when you're under enormous levels of stress so that you have at least a half hour or 20 minutes or 45 minutes of joy time, of relaxation time. You de-stress at that time. And then you're much stronger and you're much more able to handle the events that are on your plate and all the demands that are on you. So make sure that you do what you can to do the healthy thing and do the thing that will keep you from breaking down and keep you from becoming unhealthy physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually and in all ways. Keep yourself healthy. And you need a little time of joy per day. Anyway, nice to have you with me in the broadcast today on podcast. And here's a name for you. If you are of the age where you are in Medicare, or you're disabled and you have Medicare, here's the person you want to contact to make sure that your Medicare system is the right balance for you. Or if you're now approaching the time that you're going to be going on to Medicare, here's the name you need to call. Susan Hatch. Susan Hatch. And here's her telephone number. It's toll free. It's 1-844-650-6007. Okay, and that's where you can get Susan Hatch. And she will be able to advise you as well as help you become a Medicare recipient and get the right plan, you know, for you, so that it isn't one that will be inappropriate or overly costly. You want to get the right plan at the right time for you under your circumstances. Susan Hatch, 1-844-650-6007. Okay? Bye for now.